gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you sure?
I'm fine. Don't worry. Got everything under control. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. You're right. That is the most broadcast news we've ever been.
Yeah. If people were listening on the live stream at the top of the show, they heard how frantic you were on that end.
Yeah, everything's fine. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. I have a new Facebook page, you know. You can get to that from StephanieMiller.com.
That's right.
There's
a banner ad right on the left side of StephanieMiller.com that you can click, and it'll take you right to your Facebook page, I like it.
It's awesome.
I joined.
Also, it's... Oh, what's that voice? Why, it's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You lie there like this bill and do nothing.
Thank you. John Fugelsang, live all 3 hours in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Ellis Hennekin, liberal columnist extraordinaire, coming up next hour.
I'm such a fan of this guy. I've been reading him for years.
Yeah.
And I just did a last-minute booking myself in the cab on the way here, Chris. Are you ready?
Oh.
Guess who else is coming on in hour number three?
Who?
My big sister, Libby, will be joining
really?
Us.
Really? Will she give us some Stephanie Miller dirt from when you were growing up?
No, that
Please?
Is not the purpose of the visit.
Sure it is.
I will tell you the purpose of the visit. she wrote a book about my daddy called Do You Know Me? You know, my dad did the first American Express commercial.
That's right.
Ran with Barry Goldwater in 1964. And you know my sister, I've mentioned this before, she is the official firer off of angry letters of the Stephanie Miller family to George Will and various other publications. Oh, because George Will compared my dad to Sarah Palin, and my sister did not. None of us enjoyed that. Actually, he did it favorably, but still to even mention them in the same breath.
Yeah, your dad and Sarah Palin?
Made us a little crazy.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yes. So, anyway.
I actually mentioned Sarah Palin and Eichmann in the same sentence, and Eichmann's ghost came to me.
Like the ghost of Jacob Marley.
I'm evil, but I'm not stupid, smack. Nine. Nine means nine. Take back the knocked.
Oh, Lord. All right. So, here's the reason, you know, with all this Rand Paul stuff, which is hilarious. He's sort of rethinking the 1964 Civil Rights Act. He's just not really certain he's a fan of all of it.
He likes most of it.
You know, how come all of this stuff didn't come out?
He's not a fan of all the civil rights, Chris. Some of them.
I know.
This stuff has been out there. It's been out there about his dad for a long time. That's the problem with the Paul family. You know, it's like Rand Paul's a lot like Ron Paul. He's 30. He's 30 years ahead of his time, but he's also 50 years behind it, which makes him really
that's
progressive for 1990.
But you know what?
Election night when he said, "We're here to take our country back," he means back to when you didn't have to, you know, sit next
back
to.
1963.
Counter and, you know.
I will praise him for the areas where he's so far ahead of his party, and he's so great on so many things. I can't take it away. And Ron Paul is like the guy that a lot of progressives really want to respect on the Republican side. Because Rand Paul, look, he's the one guy to stand up and say that Iraq was illegal because we didn't formally declare war.
Ron, you're right, Ron Paul.
No, Rand Paul actually said this. Like,
yes.
He said we didn't declare war.
Well, that's
war.
The problem. That's what I've been saying is that, you know, like last time I was on Larry King with Ron Paul, it's you're like, yes, that makes a lot of sense. Hold
and
on,
then the tinfoil hat comes out.
Like Jim Ward was saying yesterday, libertarians make sense for about 10 seconds, and then they manage to go completely off the rails.
And that's because they're pro-weed.
Yes. Now, let me explain how this relates to my father. My sister wrote a great book, but she covers this. Anyway, the official... angry letter that my sister fired off, I believe, was to Newsweek when my dad died in 1983. You know how they, like, condense people's lives?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Literally, it said William Miller, who, you know, was a congressman and ran with Barry Goldwater and, you know, passed away. But it said, and voted against civil rights.
Oh,
is
no.
Is what it said in the one line. Anyway, but my sister can explain. They're actually referring to the 1957. My dad voted for the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Okay.
Goldwater voted against it.
So did Bush Sr.
For a lot of the same things that, you know, Rand Paul is bringing. But first of all, in 2010, to going back and saying, oh, I don't know about that part of the 64, you know, he's already had to go back now several times.
Okay, listen, liberals, all Rand's saying, you stinking liberals, is that businesses should be allowed to discriminate, but the government shouldn't. What's
right.
wrong with you stink? He's not a racist.
Anyway.
He's a non-racist who has
anyway.
A lot of racist friends and doesn't get upset at racism.
But anyway, this is why the problem is in 64, you know, that you couldn't let the states decide because they still wouldn't have decided by now to not discriminate in some, you know, some of these southern states. No
yes.
offense.
You
but,
still have black
right.
folks as property
right.
in certain parts.
But anyway, all I'm saying from my point of view, there were good-hearted people like my father that I can tell you from growing up with him was not a racist of any kind. He was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. So back in 57, there were things that were legitimately being debated for different reasons. And, you know, and he as a lawyer was debating them. But anyway, so the 57, I don't even remember, never even got to whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I'm just saying people like my dad even got painted with that brush back then. And I can tell you, Chris, we've talked about this mm-hmm. growing up. You know, like what I remember there were a couple of families of good friends of mine. The N-word was just said liberally in the household, you know.
Sure.
I mean, so I'm just saying I knew the difference. I
it's
never
ironic
heard
you use that term because the N-word has never actually been said liberally, but yes.
My way, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is, you know, my parents never, you know, there was never a word of bigotry uttered in our house. So I, you know what I'm just saying. I know the difference between anyway.
I had relatives far beyond that down south who used Nigra. They were very ahead of the curve.
Ah,
and they were very progressive.
Yeah, so they thought that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have a lot to get to in the big show. You know, by the way, Chris,
what?
I know what kind of principled liberal I am now, and I will tell you why.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, you will understand, because I've recently confessed to you of my addiction to the Shake Shack burger.
Yes.
Oh, which happens to be on my way home, which is bad. My L.A. crack with the In-N-Out burger has now been replaced by the Shake Shack burger here in New York.
I thought the Shake Shack was on the east side of Central Park. It's on the west side?
No, it's on Columbus.
Oh.
Like 77th.
And then do you use your shake weights to burn off your Shake Shack?
At any rate, but so I'm walking. I was going to go get one yesterday, and there's a labor dispute.
Uh-oh.
And so I can't.
She says no.
No.
So did you go to your sumo
big
burger
signs
place?
Out. Pardon?
Did you go to your sumo burger place?
No, I settled for my crackberry, for my pinkberry that is also my other addiction here in New York.
I've never had a pinkberry, and I have one right down the street from me.
Oh, go check it out.
I've never had a pinkberry either.
Anyway, labor dispute. Here's the other reason I realize I'm a big – I told you I just had drinks with someone from the UAW.
Mm-hmm.
It's salt of the earth peeps last week. But what was I saying? Oh, so I realized yesterday, this will make Jim laugh in particular. My SAG card and my AFTRA card got here. I'm still a member of SAG.
Are you really?
The Screen Actors Guild. And as you know, I haven't done a film since the talkies began.
Since that ill-fated Valerie Bertinelli made for TV movie. By the way,
yes.
She's coming on with us next month, so you can talk about
that. I know.
That. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I got my card in the mail yesterday, too. I guess if you pay the dues, they'll still print the card.
Exactly.
Lovely thing.
That's how committed the union supporter I am.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. Yeah. Actually, Chris, I've done another film. Which one was it? Oh, what? I know. With Joe Beth Williams and Jeremy Piven. What the hell was the name of that? Just Right.
Just Right.
That was my one film.
You were also in that Mike Myers movie about the stewardesses.
Up in the Air.
Okay. And
as myself. I was interviewing Candace Bergen as myself.
And IMDb lists you as being in Happy Birthday to Me, that Melissa Sue Anderson horror movie.
I wasn't.
Yes. You were not? Okay.
No. No. Listen, there's a lot of things on the internet about me that aren't true. That's why I don't go there anymore.
Really? That's
I'm
not...
like, what? I didn't. When did I do porn? Did I? Maybe. Yeah.
I thought you were in that back when you were Stephanie Michalski.
Yeah. You Google yourself once and then you never do it again.
Well, the Catholic Church says it's a sin to Google yourself, so I can't do that.
There's some guy, Chris, remember from the old radio show, some right-wing whack
mm-hmm.
that posted all kinds of stuff. But, you know, if you scroll back.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the?
What the deuce?
You can say anything about anyone on the internet. I'm like, what?
That's right.
Yeah, Twitter's like the evil Facebook.
Yeah, believe me, I know that.
Twitter's like Facebook for Nazis. You could just be hateful and hide behind your cutesy name avatar. And then just, you know, Facebook, everyone's nice, and we all pretend to be friends, and we debate, but it's my name and face. I can't
be a
douche.
Well, it's like in L.A. in traffic. You know, there's stuff you'd say when the window's rolled up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't if you actually face-to-face. You'd be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I am the most hardcore right-wing L.A. Republican when I'm driving in L.A.
Deport all of you. It's my road. Get out of my country.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm like Hannity on crank when I'm driving in L.A.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang, I'm sure, didn't mean to say deport all of you.
No.
Oh, I just mean the Angelinos.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
All right. May I just say, though, ever since, you know, Chris, then after a while, there became a lot of, you know, you'd get shot at certain times in L.A.
Sure.
Yes.
There have been,
you don't know who's crazy and has a gun or whatever. So
or
now
might,
I do like the Catholic girl honk. I never even do the whole, I just do the little meep.
The tap.
Yeah.
Oh, I lay on the horn.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a horrible Angelino. I know people.
No,
in Los
see
Angeles
that annoys me from
horn.
New York is like 18 cars in a row will lay on the horn. Like that's going to help. So no, I just.
Well, I wasn't going to go through this red light, but now that you're blaring the horn, I guess I'll accelerate to 5 miles an hour.
I just do the and in New York, I found out the amount of time, John, that when the light turns green, the millisecond of a second that you have to step on the gas before you get the horn behind you.
Yes.
It's like it's not even when the light isn't totally green. It's like, I'm like, okay, I see it. So, yeah, I only do the little, it's like the pardon me beep, Chris, the little, I'm here, sorry.
Yeah, I do the two little girl taps. They're like, I've mastered it with like the side of my fist is a like, and then I get my little girl tap, and then it's like, hey, I'm not being rude, just in case you're checking your BlackBerry, you're shooting up, you might want to hit the gas now and move on.
Yes, and I even do the apologetic look in the hands.
I accidentally hit the horn.
Don't do the apologetic look. Own your girly tap honk.
Yeah.
Own it.
All right. In fact, in honor of the Stephanie Miller Show, do your girly tap honk right now, everybody. Oh, I can hear that in Minneapolis. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is me, Stephanie Miller's show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Jim in Chicago. He likes him some Rand Paul. Hello, good morning, Jim. Did I do it? Hello, Jim.
I'm Italian-American, and I'll tell you right now, if a private business or club says no Italians allowed, I may not like it, but the way I interpret the Constitution, I think they have a right to do so. I don't believe the federal government
That's
can
a private
that.
Club.
But I believe that a private business has a right to do that. And you may not agree with it.
A business is semi-public.
In front of a restaurant that would prohibit certain people from going there or whatever. But at the same time, I have to respect their rights under the Constitution.
But how does that Constitution, how does that promote the general welfare?
How does that promote the general welfare?
How does that promote the general welfare?
Is that all that it's designed to do?
No, I'm just going for the first line of the Constitution, sir. I'm going for the first line of the preamble.
Everything they're saying falls under the Commerce Clause, which is really not...
Well, I mean, even Rand Paul is walking back these comments. You just said yesterday the civil rights is settled law. I mean, you know, I think to try to go back and imply that you want to repeal parts of the 1964 Civil Rights Act is, you know, considered pretty radical today.
Well, they're repealing the Miller decision as far as Heller and allowing people, they're realizing now that the Second Amendment is an individual right and not a collective right, and Miller has stood for since 1939.
I mean, really, Jim, in 2010, you think it should be okay for people to, I mean, his arguments didn't really hold up. Did you watch the Rachel Maddow interview? It's like at one point he was comparing guns to black people. I mean, you can make a choice whether to bring a gun into somewhere. You can't make a choice whether you're black or not.
Well, you can't make a decision on your race at all. However,
if that is a
private business, then I believe that they have a right to make decisions on their own behalf, whether or not to allow smoking in their restaurant.
The 1964 Civil Rights Act says no.
It says no.
No. Thank you. All right. Wow. I mean, seriously, you know, we had a caller yesterday, Chris, that said this.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Well, like, you know, I think it's okay.
It's great that white people think that white people have a right to exclude other people. That's lovely.
Yes. Very nice.
Yeah, that's very magnanimous of them. And you know what? Maybe they have a point. However, if that's the spiritual path you want to take in this life, go ahead and push it all you want.
Yeah. Did you see, Chris, have you seen the mop-up work? The various right-wing janitors that have come and tried to mop up the Rand Paul explosion?
Yeah, but
they're
even,
so mad.
There were even quite a few right-wingers who were trying to distance themselves from Rand Paul.
Yeah, even Laura Ingraham had him on, and she's like, what are you, a moron? Why'd you go on Rachel Maddow?
Yeah.
They already don't like him, so it's really awkward to watch.
Charles Krauthammer hates him.
Yeah.
And so does Bill Kristol.
He acknowledged yesterday that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was necessary to foster racial integration, a day after stumbling into a political mess by dodging questions about whether he would have voted for the law. So he was on a Laura Ingraham show to do some cleanup, but he said there was a need for federal intervention to say that you can't have segregation, that we shouldn't be doing that. He then accused liberals, though, of trying to portray him as a racist.
What?
Yes, he repeatedly carped it was the loony left that was after him.
He doesn't need liberals to portray himself as racist. He portrays himself as racist quite fine by himself.
In fairness to Rand, he never said he favored repealing the Civil Rights Act.
And this is why
he was running around saying yesterday that people were accusing him of wanting to do this, and he never actually... The only person who accused him of wanting to do it was his Democratic competition in that race. But he never said he wanted to repeal
it. It's bad enough what he was saying. I mean, first of all, like, that's going to be possible. He by himself is going to somehow be able to go back and repeal the 1964 parts of the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
His bigger problem is his friends, like his dad.
He said these are settled issues. I have no intention of bringing up anything related to the Civil Rights Act. But, you know, these are fair questions. He obviously, you know, and this isn't, Rachel Maddow wasn't the first time he said this. I mean, he said it on NPR. He said it. It's not like that's not a legitimate question. I mean, I think it was the original interview, right, Chris? Where was it? NPR, where he basically... You know, he said, I mean, he's the one that said, but, and they were like, excuse me?
Yeah, in fact, here, we have a little bit of that.
Yes. Oh, well, look at us.
I think if you have a two-story office and you hire someone who's handicapped, it might be reasonable to let them have an office on the first floor rather than the government saying you have to have a $100,000 elevator.
Oh, God.
And I think when you get to solutions like that, the more local, the better, and the more common sense the decisions are rather than having a federal government make those decisions.
The most morally superior piece of legislation in the last 20 years, and he wants to undo it. Right.
Yes. He did also admit to Laura Ingraham that it was a poor, he said, you're right, it was a poor political decision going on the Rachel Maddow show.
So he
admits to having extremely poor judgment, which is exactly what you want in your
So he only wants to have interviews where he's just lobbed softballs.
Exactly.
Okay, that's
he
brave.
He announced
that's
his candidacy
brave
on the Maddow
of him.
Show.
I know. I said this yesterday. I mean, Rachel Maddow she's a very nice person. She's very fair. It's not exactly, she's some sort of, I mean.
She's not gotcha journalism.
She's just smart. You better know your stuff when you go in there. I mean, that's, look, you know, she was asking legitimate questions. I don't think she was out to get him, you know. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Look at that. A lot of folks have some thoughts on this.
Who knew?
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Well, Rand Paul, once again.
I like the Civil Rights Act in the sense that it ended discrimination in all public domains, and I'm all in favor of that.
But...
You had to ask me the butt. I don't like the idea of telling private business owners. I abhor racism. I think it's a bad business decision to ever exclude anybody from your restaurant. But at the same time, I do believe in private ownership. But I think there should be absolutely no discrimination in anything that gets any public funding. And that's most of what the Civil Rights Act was about, to my mind.
That's a big butt, Rand. He likes big butts, and he cannot lie.
Uh-huh. after adding he's also a fan of Dr. Martin Luther King. He dug in deeper, explaining he believes that in a free society, private lunch counters must be allowed to refuse service to Dr. King because of his race. The interviewer said, under your philosophy, it would be okay for Dr. King not to be served at the counter at Woolworths. Paul said, I would not go to that Woolworths. Well, there's a principled stand.
Okay.
Well, that's why I'm disappointed, because he's weaseling out. He's weaseled out on his answers.
Yeah,
he's stuck to it. I could support him the way his dad, you know, this dad, by the way, did vote against giving Rosa Parks the Congressional Medal of Freedom.
By the way, you know that you perhaps, Chris, have gone a skosh too far when even Jim DeMint is like, oh, crazy bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, what have you done? Jim DeMint, of course, this is what cracks me up. In their fervor, it's hilarious. They got behind these candidates, and then they're just like, oh, no. It's crazy.
Well, not in this case.
Jim DeMint endorsed Rand Paul. You get funneling money, resources, yada, yada. So Think Progress, did you see this one? They approached DeMint about Paul's view, particularly his opposition to the Civil Rights Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. DeMint first tried to avoid the question, but eventually said he, unlike Paul, supports the Civil Rights Act and, quote, needs to talk to Rand about his positions. I wonder if his lapels are all crumpled from Republicans grabbing him. Listen, you crazy bastard, don't say anything.
Let me tell you about another Republican called himself a maverick once and what we did to him.
Wow. I mean, that's just stunning at this point. So they already got this guy elected, and now they're going, oh. He's also, what were the other couple things? Chris, he's for abolishing the Department of Education,
yes,
ending
like
farm subsidies.
Like
yeah.
his dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And repealing the American with Disabilities Act.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris,
okay.
You somebody wrote us a good, you said a cogent letter.
Yes, this is a very cogent point. Jack in Shreveport writes, businesses exist only because we, the people, let them. They are merely a legal construction that we allow. So the claim that they are private and circumvent the law doesn't hold water.
Thank you. You're
very
the smartest
good point.
Boy in class. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Mike in Madison on Rand Paul. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I was wondering where in the Constitution it says you have a right to be an idiot. here's what I think, okay? People who think like this, who think it's okay to discriminate, obviously they've never been discriminated against, so guess what? It's my race again, the white people. Mm-hmm. What we should do with all these people is take them down to the Gulf and sop up the oil spill.
Jeff in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Rand Paul as well. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Just a couple of points. And first off is that I applaud the fact that we have such intelligent hosts that they understand the preamble to the Constitution, mm-hmm. and it completely counteracts his argument. But secondly, is that he actually can't understand that you have to apply for a business license. I can be discriminatory in my private home if I really want to, and that's fine, right. Or in a private club that I might run. That's fine. But when you apply for a business license, what you're basically asking for is the ability to utilize the infrastructure, taxpayer-paid infrastructure, to support your business around the country.
Right.
I'd also like to point out to him that his argument back about putting an office on the first floor, but does that mean when this person goes up for a promotion or is involved with any project with anybody else on any other floor in the building, now the business has to spend even more money, money that it would take to put a ramp in out front or an elevator in, but now they have to change the production workflows of their entire organization so everything flows through this one office.
I hear you. Let me bring this back to as I often do.
Mm-hmm.
No, but he brings up a good point. And Chris, you know this in the radio business.
Mm-hmm.
This is the argument we've been having. That we are not necessarily for the fairness doctrine, but we are for programming
fairness.
In the public interest, let's call it.
Absolutely.
Because it's the same thing. I always make this point. The airwaves don't belong to me or to Sean Hannity. They belong to the public.
Absolutely.
Right? And so this is the issue we've been dealing with is, you know, how come there is only, 10% of the stations in the country are progressive? And 90% are conservative.
And they're mostly on lower-powered stations.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And in places where we're on good signals and whatever,
exactly.
There's story after story of us doing well or beating the conservative shows in our time slots. And yet, what, how do you, these are public broadcast licenses. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, our satellite, Sirius and XM,
right.
They're pay channels, and they program more in the public interest. They have both sides. They have Sirius left
equally.
And right. They have XM, right.
But it's a great metaphor for the government on a whole. Every time you hear someone bad-mouthing the government, and government's the problem, folks, this is America. We are the government. We pick the people who make the laws. So whenever you hear someone saying anti-government, they're usually a servant of the upper 1%, first off, much like Rand Paul. And we're the government, folks. So if you want to have a private business that discriminates, what are you going to do when you have a fire and you have to let black firemen into your business or black policemen into your business that you forbid them from?
It's the smartest boarding class.
Oh, shucks. I'm just hitting on you. I'm sorry.
He's hitting on me.
Let
with
me say that P90X, man. Yeah, you don't deserve a SAG card, baby. You deserve a tight card.
Yeah.
Rob in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Rob.
Just two things. One is, just in all fairness to Mr. Paul, he did in those clips that you play say, "I abhor all forms."
Oh, that makes it all better then to discriminate. You know, as long as you say you abhor it.
But he doesn't abhor it. He condones it.
Abhor all forms of racism. And
he condones racism.
The man who called yesterday wasn't white. It was a Mexican man who called yesterday said, I'm Latino. And so that gentleman who said all white people wanted to discriminate.
Well, they're both wrong.
Really wrong.
They're both wrong, no matter what they're... I mean, isn't that the essence of racism?
You know, as a white American, it's just, you know, it's not just white people calling in saying they agreed with them. And the second, and then the last thing is, where are you guys on what the president's doing about this oil spill? We have the biggest ecological disaster in
He's
the
doing
world.
Nothing. He's and, doing yeah. nothing.
And it's the president's
Bush
fault?
To show up in, when George Bush failed to show up in New Orleans, we were all over him, and I think we should have been. But you know what? I'm getting sick of Obama doing nothing about this oil spill. But we have the biggest ecological disaster.
What is he, Aquaman? What do you mean he's doing nothing?
Pardon me?
What is he, Aquaman? What do you mean he's doing nothing?
I do have to admit he could be out there a little more on this.
He has bunker buster bombs. Okay, I right here on the street can think of digging a 40-yard, 100-yard, I don't know, hole next to it, and let's get rid of the well. Let's blow up the well. Let's stop the well from flowing. It's not.
That's going to make the hole bigger. But he's right. Obama's. But he's right. You know,
of all the bad ideas, let's end up with a bunker buster
bomb.
What, though,
he's
you know what? Russia successfully did it in 1966, Stephanie. They blew up with a small tactical nuclear weapon four oil wells that were leaking.
Did he just say that's what Rush said? Oh, Rush,
no,
who said
Russia,
that?
Russia. Right? But more or less the argument is we have to nuke
Noted
the ocean.
Noted scientist Rush Limbaugh, who says the ocean cleans itself, we don't really have to worry.
I think we do more damage putting nuclear radiation into the ocean than...
Did you see the CEO of BP literally had the cojones yesterday to say, I think this will be very moderate, the damage overall?
Listen, this is the story
of the year. You've been wrong about everything. What do you mean? Oh, really? I mean, he literally said that, compared to the whole ocean, that's a lot of water. This is really only...
Well, listen, I think you're going to see more and more progressives disgusted with what Obama and the government are not doing about this. However, it's unfair to compare it to Katrina. That was a natural disaster that Bush blew off. This was a man-made disaster enabled by Bush's owners, enabled by Halliburton.
Right.
And again, the Obama administration gave out waivers for safety regulations, just like the Bush administration did to this
company.
I agree,
but I mean, my only comment would be, though, at least he stepped up immediately and said that clearly... The government is too, you know, the what is it called, Chris, the MMS department, you know, whatever, it has been too cozy with, you know, that they have to look at this. I mean, Bush started deflecting blame from the second the Hurricane Katrina thing started.
Why didn't Obama compel the MMS to testify before the Senate? The MMS still has not testified before the Senate in all these hearings.
Mm-hmm. Why did
Obama could have compelled that?
Obama went and did a stand-up comedy act at the Correspondents' Dinner when this thing was blowing up and the night that we had a bomb scare in Times Square, and he went and did his set. The presidential thing to do would have been to say, I'm sorry, I can't do my jokes, folks, but there's more important pressing things. He gave the right ammo by giving that monologue that night, and he gives the right ammo right now by having a few very carefully harsh words for BP.
I disagree.
Why isn't the Navy down there? Why isn't our military taking this operation away from BP, who's doing nothing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that may be a fair criticism. It's above my pay grade knowing what it literally is like watching a Roadrunner cartoon thus far. I mean, I'm just like, what, huh? You know,
yeah, but
I mean, at least now they've
cartoon.
Compelled them to stop using this dispersant, which, you know, clearly is not a...
They asked them to. That's how tough our government
didn't
is.
Didn't compel them,
ask
them
to. Can you please use something less toxic in our ocean? The government's dropping the ball on this as we speak, and I can't give Obama a pass just because I like the guy.
All
there
right.
you go.
I don't agree about the Times Square thing. I don't think anybody, by when the dinner was going on, they had no idea what was going on exactly. So, I mean, you know.
I don't know. Frank Rich wrote a great piece about it, and I felt the same thing when I was watching it. That night, the only network that was covering the oil spill was Fox News. MSNBC was showing
CNN
a bunch of people.
I was watching CNN.
CNN was also showing people in the ballroom waiting for the show to start, waiting for Leno to bomb. And this is with the Times Square bomb going on in progress. So
let's go to Jeannie in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Rand Paul as well. Hi, Jeannie.
Guys, I just wanted to get back to the Rand thing. The point that he's such an ideologue that the point in the interview where he charges her with conflating a philosophy, and she was like, "Yeah, with the you know the reality of your position with your position with cause, like, you know, he's just thinking she's you know, well, this is just a philosophy anyway."
Right. Right. All right, honey. Thank you. Yeah, I that was the part where he compared guns to black people. Was particularly
oh, it was so weaselly, you know. And then when he came out and said, "I'm against anyone who beats up a black person trying to sit at a counter should go to jail," and then the next day he said that they accused him of supporting violence. He weaseled out of it. That's a bigger problem than him having being a racist in the first place.
45 minutes after the hour, back with more on all of this Rand Paul falderall as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, for which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Do what I do, kids. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
It's my obsession.
Yes. John Fugelsang is here, who is my obsession, as we all know. We are talking about Rand Paul. Boy, there's like more and more stuff. It's just like it's a crazy train, isn't it, Chris?
Yes.
I knew that he was a little oogie on the Civil Rights Act and the disabilities.
Yeah.
However, I didn't realize that he, yes, also wants to end farm subsidies and what's the other thing?
Repeal the Americans with Disabilities Act?
No, he wants to abolish the Department of Education.
Yes.
At this point, the only non-Tea Partier who likes Rand Paul is Dick Blumenthal, who's on his knees thanking God for this story.
Thanks for taking the heat off me.
Yeah.
Oh,
at least Rand never said he served in Vietnam.
Monty in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. I want to comment on Rand Paul, but yeah, I'm a big Obama supporter. I can't understand why they haven't nationalized this effort and sticking BP with the bill at the end of the day. He's dragging his feet on this, and I love the man. I'll vote for him again, but this is where the right wing get their pot shots. He should nationalize it today and do it, get it over with. Anyway, Rand Paul, their philosophy is very simple, and it gives them the back door to get out. I hear it all the time. Look, they believe in this laissez-faire economy where anything goes, and we're not going to create laws, and if you have a racist business, why then there shouldn't be enough racist customers to keep you in business. But the contradiction they see is while they're denying these customers, who would be African-American, minorities, whatever, they're violating their own libertarian principles. You know what I'm saying? So Rand Paul's a big contradiction. But that's it in a nutshell. They believe in laissez-faire economics where if there's enough of a market out there, you can have whatever type of business you want. I'm not going to get in your way. I may not shop there, he says, so wink, wink.
Yeah, that's a principled stand. You can go ahead and not serve Martin Luther King, but I won't go to that Woolworths. Damn it, that's for
I abhor racism, but you go ahead.
All right, let's go to...
What about people in rural communities that, you know, have only one grocery store within 40 miles of that?
Thank you. One Piggly Wiggly, exactly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
James, it's not like you have a choice in that situation.
That's right. James in Virginia.
Hi, I just told your screener I'm an attorney. A couple things. Number one, for all these constitutional experts that have been on here, and I use that term loosely, I advise them to look at the 9th and 14th Amendment. This is settled law. This has been past constitutional muster. That's the first thing. The second thing is that I noticed that Mr. Paul is a doctor, and that he took the hypocritical oath. I wonder how he would feel if like, his child or someone he knew or his family was in a horrible car accident, and the only place that could possibly, hospital they could possibly go to is a private blacks-only hospital. I wonder
yeah.
how he changed his tune about that. This is the
yeah.
problem with people. They read into the Constitution, like the Bible, and take bits and pieces out of it and don't
yep.
pay attention to where's the law.
Also, yep, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. By the way,
I think it's a Hippocratic oath. I don't.
Right, the hypocritical oath.
I think he was making a joke.
Oh, I hope he was.
Yeah. By the way, Rand Paul opposes government spending except when it benefits him as a doctor. Then.
Oh, really?
Did you see this? He explained that his campaign.
Did you mention Medicare?
His campaign was all about federal spending, blah blah blah, fiscal conservatism. David Frum actually wrote it. Paul's libertarianism stops where his pocketbook starts. He says he doesn't want to cut Medicare payments to doctors like himself because physicians should be allowed to make a comfortable living. He's both fiscal conservatives.
Until off taxpayer dollars yeah. through the government?
Until it comes to that fancy machine that blows air on your eye that he needs for his...
And he's named after Ayn Rand, which is kind of funny, because this guy's policies would make Ayn Rand join the Teamsters.
From what I understand, his first yeah. name is Randall, but he named himself Rand after Ayn Rand.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's even creepier.
Boy, there's a sex scandal. Creepy. How fast are we going to get to Randy? He's the Randy. All right.
And wasn't Ayn Rand like a major drug addict?
He's a libertarian, so that's the difference. He's a Republican that likes to do drugs.
So is Ayn Rand.
All right. Allegedly. Hypothetically.
You know, but this all comes down to the aristocracy. This country was founded by people, by rich white landowning males who thought they should be the only ones allowed to vote and they should run it. It's the divine right of kings, manifest destiny. We get to do what we want because we're us and you're only
Don't
you.
Don't you love some rich, daddy's boy that his father's been in Congress 30 years? He can run as an outsider.
Oh, that's great. Like George Bush is with the Washington outsider for sleeping on the White House couch for 12
George
years.
Bush's hard scrabble upbringing. We're on in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Ron. Ron just could not hang on for Mama. Terry in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
You need to click.
Oh, I didn't do the thing right this time. That's my fault. Okay. Hello, Terry.
Hi. Two quick points. I guess Keith Olbermann got his answer why there's not too many African Americans in the Tea Party. And the other point is, I think this should be a broader subject here because, Rand Paul is representing the Tea Party. And I think, really, he should become the face of the Tea Party because he's definitely representing them to a T.
Yeah, exactly. Where is Michael Steele? Michael Steele says he has a lot of black Tea Party friends.
The two black guys who go to the Republican convention every 4 years and they always have to change outfits nine times a night because the camera keeps coming on them?
It's one guy. It's, what's his name? Lawrence. It's Martin Lawrence.
Oh, it is Martin, mm-hmm. Martin Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. They just keep putting different wigs and dresses on him.
He really is a crackhead. Mm-hmm. But, I want to defend Rand Paul again just for a second because the Tea Party was started by people like Ron and Rand Paul who were real fiscal conservatives disgusted at how the Bush administration spent money like Courtney Love in Amsterdam. And they started it this way. Then all the wingnuts and Obama's a Kenyan and death panelers all came in and made it the freak show we all liberals all love to laugh and mock. But at its core, the Tea Party was started by real fiscal conservatives disgusted with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And now it's just become a holding pen for the nut jobs.
Yep.
And that's all it is.
Right.
And that's good for us because it's splintering the right wing. Yeah.
I've been saying. And who's always right? I am.
But it's not. This was not the Tea Party beating the Republican. This was the Republican beating the other Republican. And the media wants to shuffle it around and make it seem like there's actually a third party at play here. They're not.
Right.
They're all coming back into the fold in the
Republican Party. I said this on the Edge Show the other night. I'm like, good. They're driving the Republican Party further and further to the lunatic fringe. Good.
However, getting Rand Paul nominated as the Republican in Kentucky might drive more people to the Democrat.
Yes,
independents and undecided as it could. But the
absolutely.
Media was so hilarious after election night because what happened? Liberals voted for Democrats, and Democrats elected actual Democrats, and conservatives elected actual conservatives, and the media was shocked by it.
Yes. Lee in Los Angeles. Hello, Lee. Hello, Lee. What? I'm just not having good luck with people. It's just having the stick-to-itiveness on the phone lines.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Lots to get to. We have Ellis Hennigan coming up. We'll get his take. Liberal columnist extraordinaire. We'll get his take on all of this from the Newsday, you know.
Yes.
And of course, my big bookie, my sister. My big sister. All right. All of that as we continue Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm feeling
Welcome
good.
Welcome to it.
I'm feeling good.
Me too. It's Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, I have a big night, Chris.
What?
I'm going out to do something at 11 o'clock at night here.
Wow.
In the,
that's 11 possible. O'clock.
I got to take a nap now.
That's possible?
I think so. Well, it's a cool thing. It's all the people from the Broadway shows go and sing after their shows at this little cafe thing that my friend that was in Hairspray is hosting. And I don't think
you're going to make it.
A friend of mine's in the Millionaire Quartet. Let's go.
Really?
Say hi to him.
You're laying a bet right now that I'm not going to make it, is what you're saying. I've been known to sleep through things.
I am absolutely laying a bet right now that you're not going to make it.
I thought if you went out after 9 p.m., you broke a hip. I thought that was, like, the rule.
Shut up, John Fugelsang. Well, by the way, it's Friday, so John Fugelsang is here to annoy me all 3 hours in New York.
She has to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning now, so it's really a burden.
Listen, mister, you don't come in for the first hour anyway, and then you're late half the time because you cut your nose shaving or
whatever
it is. But yesterday's excuse was stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. And I have a brand spanking new Facebook page. You can get to it from the stephaniemiller.com.
That's right. There is a there's a banner ad right on the right hand side of stephaniemiller.com. It'll take you right to Stephanie Miller's fan page.
Wow.
Guess what? I'll be back in Los Angeles next Friday doing the show with you two. Won't that be fun? Start cleaning up. Get the condoms off the ceiling. Mama's coming home.
You know what? We're going to have to get the condoms off the ceiling for the day before, because the day before, Edie McClurg is actually coming in studio with us.
Yes.
Ah.
It's become like a frat house in L.A. now, see?
Edie McClurg.
I'm giving you a week's notice to get that place cleaned
up. We'll do all the fart lighting now. Get it out of our system.
Edie just did my show in L.A. 2 weeks ago, the one that Jim Ward always refuses to do.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Edie just performed at my... When I'm in L.A.,
yes.
I do with Comedy Nation this political comedy and spoken word hybrid nightmare show that I've been trying to get Jim Ward to come to for a year. And Edie just came and read a hilarious story for us about
her...
She's so hilarious. She will be on the big show, Chris, next Thursday live in studio in L.A.,
That is correct.
All right. And I'm coming back because I got invited to Melissa Etheridge's birthday party because I'm fancy.
Wow.
So you're blowing off
check on my house.
You're blowing off the Hamptons and going to Melissa Etheridge's.
And I, as you both know, I haven't been invited to anything in like 10 years. So I'm just like, wow, I had two invitations. I'm like, oh.
I'm going to the Melissa Etheridge party as well, but only because I passed for Katie Lang.
He gets invited every year because she thinks he's Katie Lang.
I just walk in. No one checks. It's great.
Wait a minute. She was peeing standing up. What happened?
No,
All right. And then, by the by, Mama and Bill Press will be in Asheville, North Carolina the first weekend in June.
Go to the calendar section.
Going to
get a couples massage?
Yes. Bill Press and I are going to get a couples massage. And Mrs. Press doesn't like it, she can stuff it. By the by.
I just read something funny on your Facebook page.
What is it?
Ken in Cleveland says, Steph and Chris, why aren't you talking about the most shocking and unbelievable thing about Rand Paul? What the hell is up with his hair?
I said it yesterday.
It looks like he's had a dead possum surgically attached to his scalp.
It looks like roadkill of some sort.
Someone yesterday.
No!
Yeah.
You know what it looks like, Chris, because you've actually seen my old comedy trunk.
Yes.
Haven't you?
Yes, I have.
During one of my moves,
yeah.
I have a trunk full of wacky wigs from my wacky comedy days.
Oh, no.
That haven't been combed, like, ever.
His hair looks like if Jim Traficant's hair had sex with an Ewok. It would be Rand Paul's head.
No,
that was
like
the first thing I said yesterday. What is up with his hair?
Yeah, it looks like a tribble has attached itself to, to his scalp.
And I can't figure out what's going on with the nose, because it's like, is it broken? It's too far to one side or something. I imagine
it's too far to the right. It would make sense.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, farther to the right than it appears, actually.
By the way, speaking of going to Asheville, North Carolina, Stephen writes, Steph, hope all is well. Since being your chiropractor many moons ago in L.A., I've moved to Asheville, North Carolina. Stephen, the official chiropractor of the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris, you remember him because you remember how we got him? I was whining on the air one night in L.A.
And he showed up.
And I said, if there's a chiropractor listening, you need to come here now. And he did.
And he showed up.
Wow. He did. Because I was in severe pain.
And
now he's in Asheville.
By the way, Stephanie,
yes.
Do you read your Facebook page?
Of course, I spend all day and night on it.
Okay, because someone named Roger says, "Hey, Stephanie, it's Roger from Lockport, New York. We were recreation leaders together at Outwater Park."
Oh, my God.
"I have a great story for you from your hometown," and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you need to contact him.
Listen, if it's about the Pontillo brothers, I don't want to hear anything more about it. I don't remember anything about that. I was a recreation leader in high school. I was a park recreation leader at Outwater Park.
You were?
Indeed, I was. And also at Willow Park a different year.
And why were you fired from those jobs?
You were actually in charge of children?
Yeah, I was a camp counselor here in L.A. during college. Remember that? I was at a camp for overprivileged children.
And you had to drive a bus, as I recall.
What's that?
You had to drive a bus, that's right.
I did. I had to drive a bus full of children, which also was not a good. I was not good at it. They kind of rushed you through the thing and just gave you the license, so you. They'd be like, "Oh, it's fine."
Something tells me
here's your class two.
You don't know how to drive something with a clutch.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I would hit a lot of. I remember one day, all the kids got goldfish, and they all had the. Where's my kid screaming thing? They all had goldfish, and I for some reason that day I must have been more drunk than usual. I kept hitting a lot of curbs.
Uh huh.
And it was just like. And that was like, it was like an hour of that. "You're killing our goldfish! You're killing our..." Shut up back there.
You are a walking ad for vouchers, Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was. It was some camp for rich kids. I remember you had to pick them up in the morning, Chris, remember?
Mm-hmm.
You had to actually park the bus at your house and then go pick them up one by one.
Oh, my God.
Because they were rich, so they didn't usually go to a bus stop. You had to go to each house.
Yeah.
You had, like, a route. You had to...
And
I remember one kid came out and said, "I can't go to camp today. We're going to Europe instead."
Oh.
I was like, all right, whatever. Mm.
So this wasn't a sleepaway camp. It was like a day camp.
It was a day camp.
Okay.
Yes. It's in one of my motley collection of jobs. You remember the one I had? What was the job I had in L.A.? Remember I had to clean planes?
Yes.
At that little airport. They were little planes, but still. I had to clean the bugs off the plane windshield, and I backed a plane into the hangar once.
And you were also a cocktail waitress who had to wear a costume.
I didn't have to wear lederhosen like you did. I had to wear a kimono.
That's right.
Well, it's not a kimono. It's a Chinese restaurant.
It was at Fun Lom at Universal.
You know what? Chinese, Japanese, what's the difference? Ask Jackie Chan and the Karate Kid about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask Rand Paul.
That's the best Chinese guy playing a Japanese guy speaking English since Memoirs of a Geisha.
The Great Wall of Honshu.
Vince in California on Rand Paul. Hi, Vince.
Hi,
hey, Vince.
I was wondering, obviously we're all against discrimination, yet I was wondering, are you aware of the fact that the black colleges in the U.S. discriminate every day against anybody that's not black?
No, they don't. My sister went to a historically black college called Hampton University.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Those all-powerful black colleges.
Like, she
graduated from Hampton University.
Fish in a barrel some days around here.
In fairness to that guy, the blacks have had all the power for a long time in the society.
Yeah.
It's about time they got their comeuppance.
Slaves didn't pay rent, folks, okay?
Oh.
Let's stop feeling so sorry for them.
I have an interesting quote from William Buckley Jr.
from 1957,
the Civil Rights Movement. It goes on for a bit, but it's from National Review in 1957. The essential question that emerges regarding the Civil Rights Movement, and it is not a parliamentary question or question that is answered by merely consulting a catalogue of rights of American citizens born equal, is whether the white community in the South is entitled to take such measures as are necessary to prevail politically and culturally in areas where it does not predominate numerically. The sobering answer is yes. The white community is so entitled because, for the time being, it is the advanced race.
Oh.
It is not easy, and it is unpleasant to adduce statistics evidencing the cultural superiority of white over Negro, but it is a fact that obtrudes. One cannot be hidden by ever so busy egalitarians and anthropologists. Yeah. So that's where...
And even William F. Buckley disavowed those comments, I believe, later. But,
eventually,
yeah.
Yes. He said, "My bad." I believe we're
his
exact words.
Jim, you know the only reason I let you do that?
Mm.
So you would sing Milkshake as William F. Buckley.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Damn right, it's better than yours. It is, in fact, better than yours. I could teach you, but it would be a considerable financial remuneration involved. And all of this is null and void if you are lactose intolerant.
Oh, the oldies are always the goodies. It's Jim's free bird.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when he did that originally, we don't know why.
Yeah, we just thought it would be funny. Why.
We don't know why. We just thought it would be
funny.
I could
teach you, but I'd be forced to levy your fee. And I won't be taxed on it.
Todd in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, about the oil spill. He says that we should blow it up real good. Hello, Todd.
Yeah. You know, it's proof that we live in a fascist state. Because the EPA says, oh, you should use not-so-harsh chemicals. You know, if we really had control of the situation, we'd go in there and tear it up. We would blow it up. I mean, that's how you cap an oil well. You blow it up. They cave it in on itself. But we're not doing that because we protect corporations.
Yep.
Jim, as the official scientist of the Stephanie Miller Show, how are you on the bloating the well up?
Well, we don't know the extent of the damage down there. We've only seen what we've been allowed to see. I mean, if it's coming up in various different areas, you might just have the opposite effect. It might widen.
Yeah.
The
we haven't seen all of it, but man, what we've seen, that looks bad.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm seeing on the TV last night.
Yeah, it looks like the smoke monster coming out of the hole underwater for a month straight.
that was a
what's
Lost.
What's that from? The Smoke Monster.
A little show called Lost that you have a live feed on.
That's ending
about
on Sunday night, actually. It's
gonna Yes.
I wouldn't say Lost jumped the shark this year. I'd say it jumped the shark last year, mated with the shark, and the shark gave birth to this season.
Yeah. Thank you. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
Love.
Didn't
warm
she
it up.
Get divorced really recently? And he's all
Khalees?
The boys. Yes.
Khalees?
I thought she just
why? Were there
child.
Too many boys in her yard? Their husband is like, all right, I am tired of all the boys in the yard now. Now I've had it.
I'm leaving.
Do you think she still plays this song at concerts, or does she rely on the other hits? You know?
we've
heard that, so I'm not going to do it live anymore. It's been played out.
And in other hip-hop news, I just heard that Suge Knight was arrested. I thought he had died. I thought he was one of the ones that was killed.
It's time to play Dead or Arrested.
Suge's the one who wasn't killed.
Okay.
Suge's bad. He hasn't been in jail in like a good 3 years, which makes him more or less a priest in some hip-hop circles.
Chris, please make a promise to me that you will never, ever on this show again say in other hip-hop news. Thank you.
You're welcome.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Barry in New York on the oil spill. Hey, Barry, welcome.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, first of all, with the oil spill, after this catastrophe in the Gulf, BP should never ever be allowed to drill off our shores again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and that's the thing. If you see the CEO, I mean, it really is just stunning.
They're just going to change the name of the company, folks. They're going to change the name of the company and keep on doing it.
It's insulting to all of us.
Yeah. It's really bastard people.
We call it PBJ, peanut butter and jelly. Who doesn't like peanut butter and jelly?
Also about Rand Paul, he says that his statement is that not serving people who come into your establishment is bad business. Hey, all those good left-wing loonbats know that libertarians are all about greed. It's all about selfishness. And he makes a statement like that. Nobody's called him on it.
Yep. Well, but I think that statement's also him having it both ways, because you can make the capitalist argument that racism is just bad for business. And in many cases, we've seen capitalists be a leader in human rights. And look at IKEA was the first to market to gay people, and now you'll see Budweiser banners at every pride parade.
Yep.
You know, capitalism can lead to social equality. But Rand's having it both ways. He's being weaselly. He's saying that, you know, it's bad for business, but they should be allowed to do it. No, it's one or the other.
And Paul also said Obama's handling of the Gulf oil debacle is putting his boot heel on the throat of BP.
Yep.
It's un-American.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
Beautiful.
it's part of the blame game. Accidents just happen.
I wonder if they're going to do that tricky Blackwater thing, Jim, where they just change their name and fake us out. So we're like,
see? But you know what? Blackwater is still going to NRA conventions and still selling crap with the Blackwater logo on it. So they're Blackwater to a certain segment.
Because I know you're listening. You will always be bastard people to me.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Tony Hayward, CEO of Bastard People, is betting the environmental impact of the disaster will be very, very modest. He was on the Fox News sister network Sky News. He said, I think the environmental impact of this disaster is likely to be very, very modest. It's impossible to say, and we will mount as part of the aftermath a very detailed environmental assessment as we go forward.
Yeah, so first we'll try to hide all the oil so you don't know how bad it really is.
They think the slick is moving towards Florida because it's been using a turn signal for the last 300 miles.
He said last week, the Gulf of Mexico is a very big ocean. The amount of volume of oil and dispersant we're putting in is tiny in relation to the total water volume. Seriously, how stupid does he think people are? Oh, that's true. The ocean's big, Roger. You could have fit whales in it. I guess you're right.
BP stands for Billionaire Profits, Broken Pipes, British Pollucers, and Blackening Planet. It does not stand for Backup Plan.
Yeah.
It should stand for Boycott Polluters.
I think John Fugelsang wrote that.
Preach, preach, preach.
Already toxic sludge has started to ooze onto Louisiana's fragile wetlands, and oil globs and tar balls have been found on barrier islands and beaches along the northeastern Gulf Coast. The government closed 19% of the Gulf to fishing on Monday when the slick doubled in size, caught by the loop current that is now dragging oil to the Florida Keys. According to scientists, this is the worst time of the year this disaster could have begun. It's the peak of spawning and nesting season for marine wildlife in the Gulf, from fish to turtles to dolphins.
Yes, Americans, could you clean up my tar bowls, please? My tar bowls are a bit sticky. I need you Americans to wipe them off for me, please.
You sticky wicket.
A little to the left, America, while you're down there. Thank you. Clean up my tar bowls.
Representative Ed Markey.
Ed Markey?
Yes.
We're beginning to understand that we cannot trust BP. People do not trust the experts any longer. BP has lost all credibility. Now the decisions will have to be made by others, because it's clear that they have been hiding the actual consequences of this spill.
It's clear that BP is wicked retarded.
We're realizing we can't trust John Edwards as a husband either. We're getting that intel now.
Barbara Boxer, who does not like to be told to clean up someone's tar balls.
The truth needs to be told. And many scientists told both of us privately that from the little they did see of the film, that they didn't think the truth was being told about the amount of oil that's getting out here. At some point, we need to stop all this cover-up.
Oh, kiss my tar balls, woman.
Always funny.
My love.
You don't want to say that to a United States senator, particularly Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, columnist for Newsday extraordinaire Ellis Hennekin, liberal pundit extraordinaire coming up. And much more. We have a right-wing world. We have my sister. We have my sister booked on the show.
Holy crap. Wow. My sister.
Exactly. 21 of them.
Polanski jokes, too.
29 minutes after the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Put your hands in the air like you eat meat and just don't care.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Who co-wrote Fame?
John Lennon.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, John Fugelsang, for that music fun fact. It is John Fugelsang, former VH1 DJ, you know.
Back when it was run by people who could spell the word music.
In other hip-hop
news. Before it became the washed-up C-lister on a hot tub network. Yeah, I went to the boss, Chris, to find out about Suge Knight. I'm trying to find out all about why he got popped. Here on the Stephanie Miller Hip-Hop Update.
I've already banned the use of the phrase in other hip-hop news on the show. All right, let's...
I dare say, is whack.
Listen, I have a fancy columnist pundit on the line. Ellis Hennekin, columnist for Newsday, pundit extraordinaire, joins us. Good morning, Ellis.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm just so broken up. The idea that Suge Knight would do anything bad.
I know.
Get this suspended license driving.
I know.
And here I am. I'm wrestling so hard about whether I can support the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Should Woolworths really have to serve those black people? I mean, there's so many tough questions today.
You know, Suge Knight would bust a cap in your ass if he heard you say that. And however,
By the way, I want to go on record saying that Woolworths should not have to serve Suge Knight.
But that's part of the guns thing, not the, yeah.
Get out of the Woolworths.
Wow, this has been entertaining. Was it more entertaining watching Rand Paul get in the ditch or try to dig his way out of the ditch,
you know,
do you think?
It's funny. I like, and I know you do too, we like people who believe stuff, right? I mean, there's so few people in politics who actually seem to believe anything, who wouldn't change on a dime for three extra points in the polls. And I mean, I do believe that Rand Paul probably believes that. I mean, he has a philosophy of life that says that government shouldn't do anything at all, ever. And if you believe that, and it's, I mean, you know, I know people who believe that, and there's a left version and a right version of that view. I kind of almost admire the consistency of it, even though, as we learn, it produces some pretty wacky results. Like, you have to explain why black people shouldn't eat at Woolworths. But, but now he's weaseling. Now he's backpedaling. No, he didn't mean that. He might have voted. I kind of like the earlier Rand more than the later Rand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, you know when Jim DeMint is like, oh, what did you say?
I'm going to give you some racial sensitivity training, Randall.
But listen, it's great. I mean, it is great news for people who lean a little bit to the left, because, I mean, it just shines a great light on one of the scary thing about the Tea Party folks, is that some of them, not all of them, but some of them believe some pretty wacky stuff. And when you have an organization that doesn't have any clear principles and doesn't have any leadership and doesn't necessarily believe anything you can point to, you know, this stuff bubbles up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, that the Arizona law might be a little too nuts when Tom Tancredo goes, you know, that's a little... I mean, this is what I've been saying, Ellis, and you give me your take on it, but I think the Tea Party is nothing but good news for Democrats. I mean, they are just pushing the Republican Party to the lunatic fringe, and Rand Paul is the latest, most perfect example of their, like, oh, no.
No, I think that's an absolutely correct political read. If it drives a wedge through the country club Republicans and the, you know, whack Republicans, I mean, that's great. As Democrats, we have some experience with that. I mean, we've done that over the years to ourselves sometime, and it's delightful to watch.
Yeah, say hi to the Whigs for us.
Yeah, Jim Warren, I'm guessing that Mitch McConnell popped out of his shell to tell a bunch of Republicans, I was right, I told you about Rand Paul.
I told you he was nuts.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is hard, like from their perspective, it's hard, right, because all of the energy, all of the passion is on that side of the street. And, you know, if you're the Mitch McConnells, I mean, you know, there's no energy there. He's boring. It's unexciting. You're not going to attract any new voters with Mitch McConnell. So they're in a jam. I mean, it's like you know, just when they stop being embarrassed by the religious right, now they've got Rand Paul.
Yeah. And the latest tempest in the teapot. Oh, give us cut 8. The Mexico's president talked about the Arizona law yesterday. Did you see this?
I heard one.
Hang on. Yeah. That not only ignores a reality that cannot be erased by decree, but also introduces a terrible idea, using racial profiling as a basis for law enforcement.
So, of course, the right wing has gone berserk about that he has no right to blah, 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 blah.
You know what I like? He threw up in kind of in his host's face a little bit the idea of, hey, you guys are sending us all your assault weapons.
Right.
We may be sending you tons of cocaine, but thanks for the assault weapons.
That's true. Right? Absolutely true.
Yeah. So Caribou Barbie is urging every state bordering Mexico to follow Arizona's lead. Every other state on the border should emulate what Arizona has done. First of all, she was responsible for one of the biggest landslides in history. Quit her job, and now she's giving everybody else the state advice.
You know, when I was still asleep this morning, maybe you were up. Somebody on TV made a point. I'm not going to credit it properly, but I think it's exactly right. She is doing a brilliant job speaking to the people who already love her. I mean, mm-hmm. That is a perfect right. issue for her base, and a terrible job of convincing a single other person that anything she says makes a single lick of sense.
Oh, I know. Yes, please, join Arizona in getting boycotted.
But,
please.
I mean, there's an audience for that, and yeah. it's her audience, wow. and she's, you know, listen, you know, we all play to the demo to some extent, and she's doing it very, very effectively. I mean, I guess the new book is selling for a huge amount of money, but it's not one piece of it is designed to convince anybody or to bring anybody new into the tent. You
yeah,
get a lot
it's
of,
like her.
Uh-huh.
Right, her job is to divide. Apparently, I love that she took exception to the way the president has framed the Arizona law, saying he has chosen to twist the law. Yeah, he makes it sound like it has something to do with racial profiling or something crazy. She said she was not clear on what aspect of the president's characterization was untrue, but she said it was pretty pathetic. He's choosing to twist it to divide this country, which is not fair to legal immigrants and certainly not fair to illegal immigrants either.
But you know, I mean, you guys, there is an audience for that, right? I mean, there are people who are eager to hear that. And she's very effective and charismatic in speaking to that audience, but it just narrows the Republican base. So I just think, in fact, you should have her on as a guest every day, if that's possible.
Oh, you know what? That would be too soothing to the ears for me. That would put me right to sleep.
Now, what, by the way, was Rand Paul thinking doing all his talking to Rachel?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Did you see Laura Ingraham is doing cleanup work yesterday? What were you thinking, you moron?
I did notice it. But, I mean, what PR guy, right, in the Paul campaign said, here's the show we should go on to reveal your views on the Civil Rights Act?
Yes, he admitted that showed poor judgment, which is exactly what you want in your senator. Yes.
Although it was a great booking decision at MSNBC.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, he announced the campaign on her show.
Yeah,
I guess he thought he was going to reach out to you know, undecided voters and independents by doing it.
Yeah, so is there, I mean, you think the Democrat out there has a good chance? It's a tough race for a Democrat.
It is. But he has a better chance right now than he did before.
There are some counties in Kentucky where you can run on repealing the Civil Rights Act and win. So, you know, the Democrats got an uphill battle. But, yeah, I think Rand got a little too cocky after
win. Listen, I'm from Louisiana. We've got a constituency for that, you know.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, this race, you got to say, though, the last week in these races has gotten so interesting. I mean, the Blumenthal thing in Connecticut is fascinating. I would say he's looking sort of a little stronger today than he did 24 hours ago. Do you have that sense?
Well, you know, I was saying this yesterday, Ellis, is I don't have, you know, enough of a sense of that. I do know that, you know, they went back and, you know, interviewed a lot of the people that have covered him for most of his life in Connecticut, and they seem to say that they thought the New York Times got it wrong, that in his whole history he's made it very clear he didn't serve and that they feel like he did misspike this one time. So it's hard for me to...
He didn't serve overseas in combat.
I mean, he clearly said a couple of things that were wrong. But you know the situation I've been in, and maybe you guys have experienced. Somebody's introducing you, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to either come on a show or you're giving a talk or something. And they say stuff in the introduction that's wrong. You know, do you correct that? It's like if you had me on and said, and here he is, Daily News columnist Ellis Hennigan, and you go right to a question. Am I going to stop you and say, wait, actually that column is in Newsday? I mean, I found myself in that position of being given credit for winning prizes I never won. I mean, it's like, it's a little, you know, there's a kind of a line you walk between, like, saying, you know, I wouldn't say that. But when
we're talking to the Oscar-winning columnist Ellis Hennigan. Yes,
Oscar. You know, I mean, I like the way that sounds, Stephanie, and I may just let you go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You know what? You do have a point there, Ellis. Absolutely.
Yes.
What is your level of responsibility to correct those things? I mean, certainly if it's egregious, if they say that I won the Masters, you know, I'm going to have to correct it. But... at least the second time, I would.
But you did get a hole in one at the putt-putt once.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been in that. I'm sure you guys have had that happen. Whatever.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
On more than one occasion, President Reagan said that he was at the concentration camps when they were liberated, filming, and he never left Hollywood for all of World War II. I heard no outrage back in the 80s.
Yeah. The difference is he actually believed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there I go again.
You know, it seems to me once again, Ellis, one of the issues that where the Republican Party has not learned their lesson. We have what's his name, Souter. You know, it's this wheel of right wing hypocrites of family values conservatives, whether it's a George Wreckers or this guy. And the other problem is at least he resigned. I mean, you still got John Ensign, you've got Mark Sanford, you've got what's the other guy, Vitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all still
in. One of the lessons I think we're learning, and maybe we'll need to know this one day, is you really don't have to quit most of the time. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, sitting in New York, we all follow the Elliot Spitzer thing so carefully. And I think you know, he got caught with hookers, the governor of New York. I think he resigned kind of abruptly. I think he looks back on it and thinks, you know, I really didn't have to quit. I panicked. And many mm-hmm. of these folks, Sanford's a perfect example of that. You know, it seemed for a moment there like this guy can never survive.
And well, he doesn't need to quit. He just needs to shut up. That man just needs to stop oversharing.
No, right. But seriously, remember, Steph, the next time you do something really, really dumb, right, and people are calling for your resignation and saying, you know, we got to take that show away from her, just don't leave, okay?
Yeah. The bar is so low in radio, there's virtually nothing I could do. I have no standards anyway.
That's what I'm going to say.
Well, if you just show up and you just say, I'm here, chances are people will kind of, well, okay, there she is.
Whatever. She just has a fart joke show anyway.
She must have nowhere else to go.
Ellis Hennekin, the
career model, at least.
Right. Ellis Hennekin, the Pulitzer Prize winning, Nobel Peace Prize winning columnist from Newsday.
I want a Grammy, and if it's going to be a Nobel, I would prefer peace over literature.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Ellis Hennekin, everybody. See you next time, my friend.
Yeah, fun talking to you guys.
All right, you too, honey. There you go.
I've been a fan of his since he was writing the In the Subway column for Newsday, and I loved his work with the Wu-Tang Clan.
In other hip-hop news.
What can I say? Fan phrases. 46 minutes after the hour. That one and at the end of the day. No. Nobody can say that anymore.
Going forward. I hate that one, too.
No. 46 minutes
after the
hour. I
hate it when people sign their emails best.
At the end of the day, I'm going to begin my sentences with empty filler.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Muskrat.
Steffi.
Muskrat, I am. Do the jitterbug at Muskrat Land.
In other hip hop news.
Steffi.
Starts to giggle. Looks like Muskrat Love.
Why are you playing this? It is the Steffi Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after.
Did you hear what Jim said?
What?
In other hip-hop news.
Louise Ward.
This is where I come for all my hip-hop updates. Y'all.
Jeff in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Rand Paul controversy. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, I am a African-American who actually agrees with Rand Paul to some extent.
Wow, you're a constituency of one.
Well, here's why. Racism is a lot easier to fight if it's unveiled. If, as an African-American, I don't want to visit. I don't want to patronize an establishment that doesn't want to serve me. let's get them out in the open. Let's smoke them out, as, you know, a George Bush term has. Sorry about that, but you know, I don't want to give my money. I mean, economically, if a private business owner is stupid enough to exclude,
so it should be okay. But I mean, but you can't speak for everybody. I mean, so you're saying, you know, you wouldn't want to frequent that place, but you want to speak for every black person in America?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if somebody's stupid enough to run themselves out of business by excluding it.
But Jeff, say you didn't live in Chicago.
Yeah, actually, it might be good for business in some areas.
Say you didn't live in Chicago. Say you lived in a rural area with only one grocery store and one restaurant for about 40 miles around, and you were not allowed to go in those grocery stores or restaurants. You'd kind of be, you know, up the creek.
I can't believe we're discussing this.
Yeah, but, you know, personally, I don't want to give you money if you don't want to serve me because I'm black.
Right, but what if you have no choice?
Exactly. In Chicago, you have a lot of options.
Right, Jeff. I mean, you know, there may be a place in Mississippi or something.
Right.
You know, that'd be good for their business if they said we don't serve black people. And then, you know.
Jeff, I understand where you're coming from. And I think political correctness, you know, started out as a way to be nice to people, but kind of devolved into douchebag cloaking device. I want to know who the racists are right up front as well. However, Rand Paul's saying he doesn't believe in institutionalized racism, but he only means government. He has no problem with economic racism.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. I can't believe John under his breath. I can't believe we're talking about this. I can't believe we're talking about this 2010 with a black person.
But the even more glaring flaw in Rand Paul's argument, libertarians don't like any kind of government. And so it would be banned.
So why is he running for government?
And when he says he doesn't like any government, what he really means is he doesn't like any citizens getting in the way of the upper 5% doing what they want.
Right.
That's government. You are the government. You're the citizens. We are the framework. That's the checks and balances. That's why we're great. It's the rich guys against the rest of us. And we work it out together, and it's messy and ugly, and it's the best system we've come up with.
There shouldn't be racism in the public sphere. Well, they don't want the public sphere. They want everything to be privatized.
Stephanie in Madison. Hi, Steph.
Hey, happy Friday.
Thank you.
You know, Rand Paul tries to twist our laws like a bendy straw. There's not a gray area concerning civil rights. I mean, this guy is a dope.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's the Constitution is not a bendy straw. That's I like that. That's something to live by. Richard in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Richard.
Yes, just wanted to make a comment with the gentleman that called about the black colleges. The black colleges started off of that way because of discrimination, because of the fact they had no accredited colleges to go to that they were accepted to. So therefore, if you go there and if he would take his time and stop living in a world of unproven beliefs that he lives in, he could roam those campuses and see the diversity of white, Muslim, Catholic.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also he made the mistake of calling the one radio show whose executive producer's sister went to a black college.
That's right.
Ha ha!
Ha ha! She graduated with an education degree from Hampton University.
Kirby in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
I love the impersonation of William F. Buckley. It's forced me to reveal a secret I've been holding for 35 years.
Okay.
Conservatives in the closet is nothing new. William F. Buckley was one.
Oh, he was,
I worked for Target Studios 35 years ago, which was one of the premier porn, gay porn studios in New York City. The lover of the owner had a disco called Frankenstein. His major contributor was William F. Buckley.
Uh-huh.
Now, that fellow was written about in The Happy Hooker. It was the only person in the world she hated.
Xaviera Hollander. Wow. I read that book.
Exactly. He's the one with the Great Danes. Do you remember that portion?
Oh, yes. I remember the Great Danes scene. That's stuck in my memory.
William F. Buckley liked Great Danes, but they didn't have to have 4 feet.
Wow. Kirby, that is yikes, Jim.
Amazing.
That's going to take some digestion.
He was a rabid, hater of homosexuals, but that, as we know, usually is covering for something.
Yeah, only the ones
Mr.
out in
Rickers.
The open.
By the way, Frank Rich wrote a great piece. I don't know if you saw it, John, but, we like to, obviously these things are made for comedy sometimes, these right-wing, hypocrites. But in Rickers' case, it really is such a serious and
fantastic
sad side because, this is not just a guy that's voted against gay rights or whatever, as some of these senators or congressmen has. He has been at the forefront, really trying to hurt black people for years and years. The Family Research Council thing, the reparative therapy. They write today, it has played a significant role in many of the ugliest assaults on gay people and their civil rights over the last three decades. I don't think I even knew, Chris, did you, how many cases he's been involved in? The good news is it might hurt the Prop 8 case in California,
exactly,
which is good.
Yeah. Yes.
But Attorney General Bill McCollum in Florida, Rickers was a star witness in a case arguing why same-sex couples are unfit to adopt children. The New York Times yesterday reporting on his role in the Prop 8 case out in California. Dr. Rickers did not testify in that case, but his views in the form of a declaration filed in a previous case were cited in the documents prepared for trial by two men initially identified as expert witnesses. One, David Blankenhorn of the Institute for American Values, testified. The question of whether sexual orientation could be altered through therapy was also discussed extensively in court.
Yeah, well, two things. Number one, I think about
And Blankenhorn referenced Rickers' work in the bibliography of his expert report for the trial.
Bet he references work.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about
over and over
guys.
Again.
When I was a kid, the biggest homophobic teenage boys I knew were the same ones who would kind of do stuff with each other on the camping trips, okay?
We'll talk more about this after the break and how it affects the Prop 8 trial.
And religion, too.
And my sister. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. It is Fridays with John Fugelsang. Live in studio here with us in New York, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of Deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. I have a brand spanking new Facebook page. Check it out.
That's right.
There's a link to it on StephanieMiller.com.
Right. Just go to the banner ad on the right-hand side of StephanieMiller.com, and it'll take you right to the Facebook page. Please click I like.
In other hip-hop news...
I was just going to...
Shush!
That's going to be a
Shug
meme.
Shug Knight got popped on Crenshaw for suspended license, y'all. 65 grand bail for suspended license.
All right.
Gangsterdom is dead.
All right. By the way, here's the kind of pull I have as the, you know...
Stephanie Miller.
...of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
I booked my sister to talk with us right now about Rand Paul and the 1964 Civil Rights Act that she wrote about in my dad's book, in my book about my dad.
Yes.
She's not answering. I can't book my old sister. Where is she?
When you book a person, you have to get a primary number and a backup.
Get her on the phone.
Do I have to do everything?
I booked her in the cab this morning on the way here. All right. She's the official firer off of the angry letters of the Stephanie Miller family.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway. But she has an interesting take on the whole, you know, the Rand Paul thing and whatever. All right. Meanwhile, you can email us at thestephaniemiller.com. John writes, Steph, P90X, how much space do you need to do this? Well, interesting, you should ask. Not much space at all.
I'm so glad he asked.
Yeah, literally, Chris, right? You pop in your DVD, you use mostly your own body weight, you have some bands, you don't need lots of space, John. Get with it. John Fugelsang has been admiring my P90X body all morning.
Let me tell you, man, no SAG card for you.
Thank you.
You got the hot card. She's hot, and she looks great, and it's all because of P90X.
Jim, you weren't here earlier to mock me that my SAG card arrived yesterday. I'm actually in the Screen Actors Guild, even though I haven't done a film since the talkies.
When's the last time you paid your dues?
I pay my dues.
Okay.
That's the
Good.
Thing. I'm,
right.
in the, I'm a union gal.
All right. Good for you.
Even though I'm a loser.
P&R is just working with you.
Yeah.
All right.
If this turns into BP against Blackwater, who do we root against, Stephanie? Who do we root against?
I don't know.
I want a cage match.
All right.
How could you have your SAG card? You're built like a surfboard. Nothing sags on you.
It's a Screen Actors Guild, you know.
All you know right. why she's...
Listen, I'm cranky because there's a labor dispute at the Shake Shack, and I can't get my Shake Shack burgers now because I'm not going in a labor dispute establishment. All right, Julie in Seattle, Steph, in answer to your eternal question, when should I sell that damn house in L.A.? Home prices expected to start climbing next year. Ooh, a new survey of economists and housing analysts predict the home prices will start climbing by 2011 and rise by 12% over the next 5 years.
That's right.
Okay, then.
Lovely.
All right.
Okay, then.
Little known fact is I do a real estate show here on our local station on the weekends. I know, right?
You live in a hovel under an underpass.
I know, but I host a real estate show. But,
you know about real estate.
No,
he's woken up in a lot of strange houses.
You live under a bridge, don't you, with the pittance I pay you?
I live in a van down by the river.
I hope so.
No, but
if you don't, I'm paying you too much.
No, but it really does seem like the housing market is, you know, unlocking itself. And so, yeah, now would be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You just want me to stay in New York, don't you? Just for that, I think I'm moving back to L.A.
Oh, God, no! No!
I'm coming back next week. You guys clean up that frat house over there. I'm not kidding. Get those damn condoms off the ceiling and God
Sweep
knows.
Sweep all those empty Whippet canisters out of Chateau Miller. Hide your popper bottles. Steph's coming home.
All right. Oh, it's, by the way, speaking of which, it's Friday. Time for Drunk Stack meets Future Husband Stack. DUI suspect carried from a field in a tractor bucket. That's my guy. Police say a Maryland man was so drunk after driving into a central Pennsylvania field that a farmer had to carry the handcuffed suspect out of the bucket of his trailer. 36-year-old Sean Anthony Holt had to be pulled to safety after he was nearly run over by his own truck. You remember, I was almost run over by my own car once when I got out to get the mail.
Yes.
I forgot to put it in, what's the thing? Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Holt surrendered and collapsed behind his truck, which started to drift back toward him. The officer pulled him away, and then the farmer needed to carry him back to his patrol car in the bucket of his tractor.
Yeah, Darwin had a term for that.
Survivor of the drunkest.
Chris, we were doing our latest. If you could take your organ out. The only good news about this latest, the George Allen Wreckers thing, is that we can only hope that it caused the Prop 8 thing to implode in California, because he was prominently featured, as was his science of reparative therapy. One of the witnesses, by the way, in the Prop 8 trial was a gay man who was forced to undergo reparative therapy. NARTH. That he was the head of
NARTH.
National Association of Research and Therapy of Homosexuality.
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Cure homosexuals.
And the experience left him contemplating suicide. Wreckers was on the board of NARTH.
NARTH.
Prop 8 trial. He only recently stepped down after the Rent Boy scandal broke. Wreckers is a member of the American College, also of Pediatricians, which is some, right-wing whack group.
Exactly.
Which submitted an amicus brief in the Prop 8 trial. So
actual medical professionals have renounced.
Thank you.
Straight live with the queer guy.
Thank you. Oh, all right. My sister can squeeze this in like 15 minutes.
It appears so, yes.
Oh, well, good, good, thanks.
Great booking there, Steph.
Glad she can squeeze that in. All right. I guess she had to wedge me in her other bookings, I guess, today.
Sure.
Do you have any close personal friends we can try to book and they can blow you off?
Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Caribou Barbie. Yep. Why am I not surprised that she's a Rand Paul fan?
Kind of that libertarian streak of his, that is what we need to balance out the leftist liberal overreach of government that's in power right now. So Rand's going to be great. Plus, on social issues, he's got some great positions.
Oh, great positions, Jim. Like, the kind of, libertarians who want the government out of your life, except that he does not want a woman to have the right to choose, even in cases of rape, incest, or health of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's those kind of, there's kind of those good positions there on their social issues there, you betcha.
Well,
also,
Sarah agrees with that. Choose.
Sarah agrees with that. She just wants the woman to also have to pay for her own rape kit.
Right.
Yes. Bill Kristol.
Hot.
Have we ever mentioned his... always been wrong about everything ever in the history of the world.
Only about economics and Iraq.
And the war. Yeah. Okay.
There's something attractive about him. I mean, he's a plain-spoken, seems like an honest and good-natured guy. And this could be one of these flaps that everyone in Washington has a heart attack about. And if you're an actual voter in Kentucky, you think, you know what, he's sort of thought about this. He says he's not going to try to change the Civil Rights Act. But he's a thoughtful guy. He has a libertarian bent. And you can do a lot worse than have him in the Senate.
Wow. Chris, what was your analogy to what looks like landed on his head?
A tribble.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
It just landed there and affixed himself to it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, we all
Jim, you missed Donald the first Trump edition of What's Up with Rand Paul's Hair. What do you... Yeah. It's right. It's
one of Donald Trump's extra skull markings. The one he left in the dryer too long.
Mm-hmm. It looks like one of the many woodland creatures that adorn Donald Trump's head.
I still think it's Jim Traffigan's hair had sex with a dead Ewok and produced that.
And then was put in the dryer without a dryer sheet.
Yes, exactly.
without a bounce.
Yes.
We are mocking the personal appearance of Republicans today on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right. That's what we do. That's what we traffic in.
Glenn Beck.
These people want to try to paint themselves a civil rights movement. They're just a civil rights guy. No, we're not revolutionaries. What? No, we're civil rights marchers.
Uh-huh.
Who are the civil rights marchers? They were people with profound belief in God. They were trying to set things right. They weren't crying for social justice. They were crying out for equal justice.
That
would be the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What? Mm. See, Glenn Beck doesn't like the Jesus agenda, and that's why he said people should not go to churches that preach social justice.
You see what his point was. They marched. Who else marched?
Nazis
march.
Mm-hmm.
Social, as in national socialist. Huh? Who's with me?
Nobody.
Okay, Hannity on the radio on Mexico.
The attitude of Mexico towards the United States is beyond antagonistic. It's so hypocritical considering their own law. The president sits there. Democrats sit there. They cheer this. They allow this to happen. Apologizing for America. It's a new sport in Washington.
He's referring to what exactly?
Well, I think he's referring to the fact that Mexico tries to keep out illegal immigrants coming
in. Oh, yeah. Mexico has really, really harsh immigration laws.
Is there a huge exodus? Are they going to build a fence now? Is there a huge exodus?
From Guatemala. They have a illegal immigrant problem coming in from Guatemala, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. There's going to be putting college kids in their izods trying to climb the fence to get down to Ensenada to get to Husan's Cantina?
It's from their south.
From Guatemala.
Oh,
right.
I see.
It's from their south.
Oh, I understand now.
Tell Sean, Guatemala apologizing for America is not the same as apologizing for Bush.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Dargetto, gas bag, Rush Limbaugh.
We spent, let's just call it cool, $1 trillion on a jobs-creating surplus, right? I think we can all agree it didn't work.
No.
Not from our perspective. It probably worked like a champ for Obama because it was a slush fund.
What?
He's referring to the stimulus, which pretty much any fair-minded economist will say has worked and added X number of private sector jobs, but okay.
And saved untold number of public sector jobs.
Hmm. Okay. It's like tomato, tomato. Okay.
A socialist firewall.
17 minutes after the hour. Back with a skosh more right-wing world. Fridays with Fugelsang continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Stephanie Miller Show, busting out the pointers on a Friday. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We've lost it. See? See what started from saying in other hip-hop news? You see what this has led to?
But, folks, we're taking your pledges now. We're trying to raise $65,000 for Suge Knight's bail. Only you can help. Please call in with your pledge right now.
Driving while gangster.
Indifferent operators are standing by.
All right.
And in other hip-hop news, I was just playing Pac-Man on Google.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you go to Google.com, you know the Google logo, it's been replaced by a game of Pac-Man because today is the 30th anniversary of Pac-Man. And you can actually play it.
With your arrows.
You play it with the arrows on your keyboard.
That's
it's really
thing
cool.
Where the things used to eat each other, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, it didn't sound like that. It sounds more like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, exactly.
My bad. Well, it's a little hard for me to make that sound.
Top that, Facebook. Google that Pac-Man.
Steve Ducey on the Fox and Friends as we finish up the right.
There was a ceremony they had on the South Lawn of the White House. Mm-hmm. And is it just my imagination, or did it sound like the President of the United States, when he was standing next to President Calderon, did it sound like he was kind of apologizing for the United States, and in particular for those meanies down in Arizona with that new law?
No.
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 Yeah,
you're
it's just
a dunce.
You.
You're a dunce, but thanks.
He's a disposable Ducey.
Steve Doofus. Yeah.
All right, O'Reilly.
All right, Hooters. I've never been there.
What?
I think I've been there once when I was like.
You love the chicken wing.
I haven't been around. A lot of fried food there. Anyway, they have good-looking waitresses, and one of them, Cassie Smith, was told either you lose weight or you're out of here. Your Hooters are out of here.
Wow. He's never, he was trying to just focus on the fried food, because whenever he talks about a sex scandal kind of thing, he's, you know, a sex story.
So he's talking about a sexist establishment and manages to be even more sexist in discussing their sexist policies.
Yes, exactly.
With his attempt at humor.
But did he order any iced tea, Emmer? That's what I remember.
The only time I like any jokes on the O'Reilly factor is when Dennis Miller tries to tell some and O'Reilly steps on the punchline. That's funny.
Yes. And the fact that you can even identify there is a punchline in a Dennis Miller joke.
Well, you can tell it's a punchline because Dennis laughs at his own joke when it's done. That's how you know a Dennis Miller joke is over.
John in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Hello, John.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, just make a couple of comments. I am a conservative. I do listen to your show. I like it.
Thank you.
Hey, Buckley was right on, man. whoever did that impersonation. But
yes.
You made a comment earlier about the Constitution.
Did you mean the impression was right on or the sentiment in the racist rant of William Buckley?
And I think, I don't know if Ellis made the comment about, if he was still on, he made a comment about our system is the best system there's ever been, even with all its blemishes, and I would agree with that.
That was me.
That was you. Well, that was well done. But word. I just kind of in reference to Rand Paul, and I don't know the guy. I'm not a libertarian. But I think some of the criticism may be a little intellectually dishonest, and he's been, I think, very poor in illustrating what his point is. I believe his point is that he believes strongly, and I as a conservative believe very strongly, that the reason we live in this nation, which I happen to think is the greatest nation that's ever existed in the history of human society, we have provided more freedom and more opportunity for more people, both in this country and outside this country, than any society that's ever existed. And that our society is built on...
Here's a good idea when you're telling your little stories. Where is that drop?
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. Well, it makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
We haven't been able to use that in a long time.
No,
yes, we agree. Greatest nation. But okay, what's the point? Yes, Jim,
part
sorry.
part of the process of granting freedoms to people was, well, the Civil Rights Act, for example.
Yes.
Which was obviously sorely lacking up to that point. And they want to abolish that for private businesses. But
just parts of it, Jim.
But they don't believe libertarians don't believe in the public sphere. They want it to go away.
Yeah.
They want everything to be privatized. So exactly. He defeated his own argument.
Mitchell in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello.
Hey, Mitchell.
Hi. I'm calling in regards to the Rand Paul the whole Rand Paul issue. I think that his comments, it's not that maybe he felt like they were racist. I think that it's more important to address the ideology, and that actually the argument has been somewhat reduced down to a racist argument, which will then polarize some people. And I think it's more important to address the flaws in the ideology. And, I think the problem with the ideology of libertarians is that it's based on the notion that the government or in the absence of government regulation, that people will or the best will of society will be seen, or the society will be better off and be able to be free, so they say. And I think that
yes, well, I mean, but part of that freedom is some business to have freedom from black people if they want.
He thinks property rights are more important than social justice and equality.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with my big sister.
Hopefully.
On this, if we can reach her, if she has time to squeeze this in, or if she didn't lie to me again, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch. I'm not a bitch. Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. We are family. I've got all my sisters with me.
Do you?
Just all right, no, just one of them.
You have another one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We don't want her on the air.
Wait. What did you do?
I hit the wrong thing. Oh. Good morning, Libby Fitzgerald, my big sister.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you, my baby sister?
You know, the only reason
what non-controversial subject are you talking about this morning?
Big sister, you know I'm only having you on to plug your book so that I can get more of that big book cash when you leave it to me.
Don't we wish?
What's the name of the book, and how do we still get it? Can we?
You know, it's Bill Miller, Do You Know Me? A Daughter Remembers, and it's a takeoff on the American Express ad he did after his candidacy. He did it in 1974, in which people sometimes remember him more for the Express ad than they do for running for vice president, which is a bit ironic, but he didn't mind. He used to think that was very funny.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not sure. I think you can still get it on Amazon and possibly Barnes & Noble.
There you go.
Not too sure about that yet.
There you go.
It's
all right, I'll just...
It's been out since 2004, you see, it was published, so I'm not too sure. But anyway...
Well, it was a fabulous book. Because you are the official writer and angry letter writer of the Stephanie Miller family.
Oh, yes. Any time I see my father's name taken in vain or remembered less, you know, kindly than he should be, I tend to write a letter.
Yes.
To the
did you? Wait, now did.
Comment.
I know. Did George Will write you back? Because you wrote an angry letter to George Will because he compared Daddy to Sarah Palin.
Yes. Yeah, I wrote a very angry letter, and he did write me back. A very nice letter, handwritten in his personal stationery, you know, not an aide in his office kind of thing. So it was very nice. And basically, he was defensive. You know, he defended himself and what he said, and he thought that Daddy was wonderful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And didn't mean any disrespect, you know.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get your take on this Rand Paul thing, because, you know, you write a chapter about this that, you know, you and I know from obviously being raised by Dad that he didn't have a racist bone in his body, but what was raised sometimes is he voted against one version of the Civil Rights Bill in 1957, right? He voted for the 1964 Civil Rights Act, but we were talking about that, you know, it can, the phrase racist can be thrown around unfairly in some cases. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things, I guess, and one of the reasons I really wrote the book was because of real sadness was that that always seems to be associated with him, and he was, I think, wrongly, you know, thought of and as perhaps on that side of the issue. But it was literally what it was 1957 was the very first bill that civil rights bill that came up since Reconstruction Day, and it was not a strong bill, but it finally did pass, and it didn't, you know, Daddy was on a judiciary committee, and he was very much a part of formulating the bill, and there were amendments that he wanted in the bill that he felt safeguarded individual rights. I think one of his fears was, and it's interesting because this has cropped up again since 9/11, that in the rush to right old wrongs, which very much need to be righted, you know, you can do it the wrong way. And, you know, there have been people since 9/11 who have felt that because of the terror and the fear that resulted from that and wanting never to see this happen again, that we might have infringed on some constitutional rights of some citizens. Well, in the same way back then, as egregious as the offenses were in the South, but also other places in the country, civil rights abuses, if people were going to be accused of civil rights abuses, they had to have a fair hearing before a jury of their peers, was my father's and many others' feeling at the time.
And Dad was an attorney. He was a prosecutor at Nuremberg.
Yeah.
And so as a lawyer, he approached it a certain way.
And constitutional rights were so important to him. And he very much understood and believed that a bill had to come out at this point in time. I mean, the unrest was enormous, and the more he heard before the Judiciary Committee of testimony, it was stunning to him, and he was in disbelief, really, of some of the things that were going on that many people really didn't know about at the time. I mean, voting rights abuses and all sorts of things. So he wanted this bill, but he felt like he can't pass this bill without some safeguards, some constitutional safeguards, and they finally did get in the bill. It died the first year. It was the end of the session. Came back the next year, and he voted against
right.
the original version. Voted for it when it came back the next
right.
year.
Right, so he voted for it in 1964, but Barry Goldwater voted against it.
Against it, yeah. But for this one time that he voted against the bill because he didn't, you know, the amendments he wanted didn't get in it, and then it died, and when it came back the next year, he did vote for it because of that one thing. Every time they would write about him, they
right.
would note that he voted against this one bill, a particular bill, which finally passed, and he voted for.
Right,
you know?
But you and I were talking earlier this morning, but I think there's a big difference between that and, you know, the honest disagreements between people at the time these bills were being formulated. And Rand Paul in 2010 talking about basically going back and, you know, I mean, he didn't say he would repeal them, but that he didn't like certain parts of the 1964 bill, I just think is stunning in 2010, don't you?
Well, it seems to me that he's frozen in time because, I mean, you know, back then, this was a big new intrusion, you could say, of the federal government into what had been an area of states' rights, voting regulations. Those were things that were left to the states. And so many people consider it an infringement from the federal government on an individual and states' rights. Well, you know, now we know that this needed to be done because the pace of change would have been far too slow if you left it to the states. I mean, so many of the southern states would have, Lord knows when they would have changed, you know, some of the laws. And so it had to have become from federal legislation. And to think otherwise now is kind of amazing because, I don't know, you know, it would even
right.
certainly, with, in retrospect, what we understand that, you know, at the time
yeah.
people didn't, but...
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, you know, and many times we used to joke that Daddy used to have to start every speech on the campaign trail in 1964 with what Barry meant to say was...
yeah, oh, yeah. We was constantly on the defensive and, you know, trying to explain what Barry had said in good faith and it really were not terrible things, but he had a way of phrasing them that sometimes were, you know, either misquoted or misunderstood or expressed differently in the press and backfired on him. And so, yeah, Daddy was always backtracking. And try to clarify what it was he had
exactly.
to say, you know.
Wouldn't
exactly.
you guys agree, though, that we used to have a lot more progressive and liberal Republicans? I mean, not going back to Lincoln's day, but also, you know, Rockefeller and even Barry
oh,
Goldwater
yeah.
said that he thought in future generations he'd be considered a liberal.
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the whole theme of my sister's fabulous book, Bill
yeah.
Miller, Do You Know Me? Is,
well,
is
yes, the... I mean, you had Romney and Scranton and Rockefeller and Goldwater all in the same party. I mean, that's unheard of today. You know, the moderate voices are being one by one silenced, and it's becoming, you know, a strictly right of center party. And I
well, look at, I mean, look yeah. at you and you look at you and Mary, our other sister. I mean, just, you know, how you've progressed, you know, politically. You, as you know, you guys campaigned for Dad in the 64 convention. If I get one more letter about how hot you my sisters were, I of course was the ugly wolf child that was left at home, but you know,
you've blossomed so
well, thanks to the surgeon's scalpel, yes, but anyway,
yeah, what a beauty you've become, you know. Yeah, but it's so true, and that, as you know, big belief was a big tent that the party, it should be room in the party, as there was in the Democratic Party for, you know, at that time, Southern conservatives and labor, you know, labor people from the North and liberals from the North. And so they were all in one party, and why couldn't Republicans contain many hues and somehow come, you know, to agree on some core principles? And that just didn't being sought
yeah.
after today, which I think is...
And you know, our other sister is practically a communist now. I think she voted for Che Guevara, didn't she, in the last election?
I think so. I can't keep track of her.
All right. The more important thing is I am having dinner with both of your daughters, my nieces, in New York City tomorrow night. And your daughter was nice enough to ask me if I'd like to bring anyone. And I said, no, it'll just be your elderly spinster aunt, as usual. Just one, party of one.
Advertise on the air. Maybe somebody would like to go with you.
All right. It's my big sister, Libby Fitzgerald, everybody. Pick up her book, Bill Miller, Do You Know Me, on Amazon.com.
Hey.
I love you, Libs.
Fun to
love
talk to you, Steph.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Libs. There she goes.
Bye.
My big
aww.
Sister.
Bye-bye.
She's my big sister. That's my big sister. My sisters were hot. They were really hot. They were on the campaign
hot.
Trail.
They're
like a... She is 18 years older than I am.
Well,
they were like,
there's that picture of your family on the boat in Life magazine. Your sisters are in a bikini and posing, ooh. And you're just kind of sitting there on your mom's lap looking ugly.
Well, it was the 60s bikini, which are more like shorts, but still.
Right. They were hot.
Yes, and I was, in fact. Do we have is there a picture on my Facebook of the ugly little wolf child that I was?
I shall put it up in the next break. How's that?
Okay, or it might be even up on StephanieMiller.com, but you can see the difference.
Yeah, it's
the hotness differential. My sister's both hot, and I was really a small Armenian wolf child.
Yeah, your eyebrows knitted. They like came together.
They were like
yeah.
Liam Gallagher eyebrows.
There's that one picture. No, there's that one picture. You can see why they left me home because my eyes look like you know those little like I don't know what they are, the little candy things you shake around the eyeballs sort of don't go the right way. They're like a you know. That's
but
what I looked like.
You were drinking heavily at that age. Though,
I was.
You? I mean, in fairness, yeah. I mean, that wasn't the real you.
I was three, and I was drunk. That's why they left me home. And the wolf child on top of it. Okay.
Yeah, you had gray fangs.
I did. That was my mother's fault because of tetracycline. Oh, that's funny. Wait, I got a hate letter. I forgot about this one. Hang
okay.
on.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, that I
it's
forgot.
It's not mine, right?
Oh, this is from someone named Bill. Question, did your mother drink heavily when she was pregnant with you?
It was the 50s.
Of course she did.
Yes, Bill, I'm going to guess yes, she did.
That's...
From the amount of Beef Eater's gin that was consumed in our household a cocktail hour after I was born, I'm just guessing there was no pause during
that's
the pregnancy.
That's weak hate mail. There's no hate in there. There's just conjecture.
It was
that's,
just a question.
Yeah, that I want hate.
Did
come
she?
On.
Well, probably.
Well, sure. She huffed paint. What do you want?
They weren't quite so... My mother did not huff paint.
All
when
right,
she was
a rag soaked blue. In gasoline. It's not the same.
You know, Chris, it's true. We've talked about this on the show before. Women not quite so hysterical about being pregnant back then.
No, that's true. They
continued to smoke and drink, and as John said, huff paint and
drink and
God knows what else they did.
Lead paint and
yes,
that's fine.
They were a little more laissez-faire about the whole pregnancy thing.
Thalidomide, you know.
Yeah, they didn't pay much attention to their diet either.
Yeah, it was right. Tetracycline that gave me the gray fangs. Thanks, Mom.
I got those fixed, though.
Once you're born, you're handed off to the nannies, so they don't have to deal
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, you did have a nanny.
So they can. So there's no pause in the drinking.
Right. So your mom could continue her naked handstand.
Oh, dear. I feel that this whole segment may have made me unwelcome at Thanksgiving. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, y'all gon' make me lose my cool.
And another hip hop news.
Yeah.
I hate today's theme. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Up in here. 50 minutes after the hour.
Someone Google searching a transcript of this show, if they would search hip-hop news and Rand Paul, we hit this
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
Those are the most heard phrases today. And I'm proud of that.
Oh, and me being an elderly spinster aunt. I am going off to dinner with both of my nieces and their respective husbands tomorrow night, and that is the sad moment when your little niece says, would you like to bring someone?
Would you like a cake, Miss Havisham?
No, I'll just bring one of my glass figurines that I talk to.
No, what's different?
Do you want me to give you some?
Was that even more pathetic, my sister's suggestion that I ask on the air? Can you imagine? And who's this? I don't know, some guy that was listening on air.
Do you want some hard candies and little wrappers for
Shut
that
up.
Meal you can bring?
I have my own words.
How about some ribbon candy?
I am. I'm the elderly spinster
you
aunt.
You really are. Yeah. Mm.
All right.
You have a bowl of ribbon candy sitting on your coffee table that's all stuck together because it's been
I
in there so long.
Have you know my niece is only 5 years younger than I am. I was an aunt when I was five.
Oh.
All right.
One of those families.
Yeah, one of those families.
Well, because my mom was, as John Fugelsang said, huffing paint during most of the pregnancies.
No,
so
only in a loving way.
The fact that any of us survived, I suppose.
It's 2010. That's not an insult anymore, Steph. Okay, huffing paint is something that all the kids are doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. On the second attempt, the Senate has finally broken the GOP-led filibuster of Wall Street reform. The Senator Fold came along, Scott Brown. Ooh, the Tea Parties.
Senator.
Yeah. Olympia Snow and, of course, Esmeralda did not make financial reform disappear.
Well.
Senator Ghostly voted for it as well. The president.
And when they couldn't kill it, they tried to water it down with special interest loopholes and
Done.
Carve-outs aimed at undermining real change.
Done.
Today, I think it's fair to say that these efforts have failed.
Yeah, the financial reform is—they actually strengthened it, John. They, you know, that's—I think they did learn a lesson from healthcare.
No,
is that, you know, this time, the trying to slow walk it didn't work. It kept getting stronger. They were like, oh, let's hurry up.
The only thing they've reformed is the definition of the word reform. I'm sorry, but I got to keep saying I love Obama, but improvements are not the same as reform. And Wall Street loves this bill. It's got lobbyist fingerprints all over it. It does not end too big to fail.
Listen, if Rachel Maddow, she's smarter than all of us put together, and if she says it's good, it's good.
Well, Dylan Radigan said. Bad, so that's
don't
make
let
talking.
Don't let her go Rand Paul on your ass. The president yesterday.
Our goal is not to punish the banks, but to protect the larger economy and the American people from the kind of upheavals that we've seen in the past few years. And today's action was a major step forward in achieving that goal.
Oh, by the by, the Senate hearings for Elena Kagan will begin June 28th. You know why, Chris?
Why is that?
Because that's when we go on vacation, and that's when all the big news always happens.
Oh my God, you're right. Ah, Jiminy Christmas. Well, House Sparks will be covering it while we're
And
away.
I'm sure John Fugelsang will be in.
Yes.
And John Fugelsang will be filling in for me. What is there's one day in June.
Yes,
where
I'm allowed one day this year, and I forget when, but that's my reparation. So I'll be
June.
Talking a lot about Elena Kagan. What's she wearing? That's what I want to know.
Oh, stop it. This is a reasonable schedule in line with past practice, said Senator Leahy. Judge Sotomayor was 48 days after she was designated. This is 49 days after the nomination was announced. Guess who thinks they're going too fast, Jim? Mitch McConnell.
Darth Bud doesn't approve.
Too fast. I wish her would slow down and give me some lettuce while I'm stuck here on my back.
Everything is too fast for Yertle the Turtle.
Yeah.
Jeff Sessions disagreed with the decision, said that the hearing should start after the July 4th recess to allow adequate time, blah, 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 blah. John Cornyn said he was disappointed. It's so soon. It's too soon. We're rushing again.
Sessions looks like a scared little mouse.
Right, a scared little elf.
He looks more like an angry leprechaun to me, but I...
Oh, by the way,
he always looks surprised.
It's June 4th.
June 4th what?
That John Fugelsang will be in for you.
No, that's incorrect.
No?
No.
That's what I have on my calendar.
June 22nd, I believe.
Oh.
But you know what? We'll do this after the show. Okay. Let's go to Lori in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Lori.
Good morning. You guys missed a very big breaking story. News clip from yesterday with our president, and I believe the president of Mexico, outside. Mm-hmm. There is a clip of what appears to be either a mouse or a mole scampering across the steps. Well, that could have been a rat, but Ducey and brown-haired guy this morning on Boxing Beans were just all agog. So now, not only on January 20th, 2009, did we get socialists and communists in the White House, you know, now there's a rodent infestation. Brown-haired guy was absolutely going nuts over this. Could not believe it.
Mm.
You know, never mind that it's a 200-year-old house sitting upon acres and
yes.
acres of grass. But
exactly.
Yeah.
That's another episode of
what?
Fox. Okay. Mm. All right. Do you see Ben Nelson is unfamiliar with ATMs? He's never used one?
What?
Yeah.
First of all, this is a great bill, isn't it? Senator Tom Harkin has been trying to get the Senate to vote an amendment to cap ATM fees at 50 cents. Doesn't that piss you off mm-hmm. that it costs you money to get your own money?
Well, yeah, especially since banks are closing branches left and right, so the only place you can get cash is at ATMs.
Senator Ben Nelson, a Democrat of Nebraska, whom I have no use for, claims he's no fan of unnecessary fees, but he's unfamiliar with the charges because he's never used an ATM.
Of course.
He said he gets his cash from bank tellers. Can you still do that? Really? Wow. He said, and then he
gets it from lobbyists.
Yeah.
And then he tried to, he said, I could learn how to do it just like I've learned how to, I swipe to get my own gas, buy groceries. I know about the holograms.
What?
He meant the barcodes on the, he was trying to not be George Bush Sr. He was trying to,
barcodes have been around since the early 70s.
He didn't mean holograms.
I thought he meant Princess Leia.
He meant Jen and the holograms. No, he meant the, the barcodes when you scan at the supermarket. He also said, I go and get my own seating assignment on an airplane. Aren't you something, Senator?
Wow, and he's wearing big boy underpants.
You know, people who can't function in society by doing simple things just really shouldn't be in government.
But then who would run government?
Although I must admit, John, when I use my credit card in the cab, it sometimes takes 75 swipes or so. I don't know what's wrong with those things on the back. It's very tricky.
It does take a lot. But we didn't have credit cards in cabs until just like 2 years ago.
I know.
It's a bold new age.
That's newfangled.
I was about ready to ask. You can use credit cards in cabs?
I know it. Who knew?
Now, yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Telly, right?
Huh.
Holly in Seattle.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Good morning. I love you guys very much.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a couple quick comments on the Rand Paul scenario. As far as all the free rights they want and everything in terms of government being out of the business, it kind of reminds me of the main thing of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory incident where there were no regulations and all the sewing women were closed off in a building. Actually locked in, and there was a fire, and 146 women burned.
No, yeah. Sorry, we are out of time. By the way, Rand Paul, not a scenario. His hair, that's a scenario.
Yeah.
Yes, but he's a non-racist who hates racism, doesn't mind if you're racist, but he's not a racist.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind if your business is racist, but he abhors racism.
That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, John Fugelsang, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.